Blog Talk Radio.
Go crazy. Hold up. Wait. Stop. Stop. Go crazy. Hold up. Hold up. Wait. Stop. Now go crazy. Hell back.
Hell back.
Not no more.
Not no more.
Came back.
Came back.
Settle score.
Settle score.
Me be you.
Me be you.
101.
101.
Ain't no stopping.
Ain't no stopping.
What's begun?
What's begun?
Foundation. Hard work. Determination. Demonstrated. Brick laid. Long nights. Overstayed. Never played. Insane. Don't justify. I just wanna make the song cry. Let it speak. Loud and clear. No pain. No fear. Ambition. Sound vision. Cooked in the lab. My words missing. Vocal tracks on overload. Just how I seen it unfold. Not twisted. Not tangled. I'll leave your mangled. Unrecognizable. Bird box. No blindfold. Bust back. Doom, doom, doom. Solid, not see-through. You have no idea of what I just might do. Capsize your boat. Burn down your hotel. Give all I got. Send you to hell. Hold up.
Hold up.
Hold up. Wait. Stop.
Stop.
Now go crazy. Hold up.
Hold up.
Wait. Stop.
Stop.
Now go crazy. Hold up.
Hold up.
Wait. Stop.
Stop.
Now go crazy. Hold up. Hold up.
This episode of The Real Spill Show is brought to you by Shania's Food Truck, Nikki's Dollar Jewelry and More, Chandler & Company, The Pop-Up Shop at Arden Mall, Results Transformation Center, Rags Rolling Paper, J-Spot Kitchen, Sticky Fields, and It's My Hair Salon. To become a sponsor, email us at olhent@gmail.com. Thank you.
Yeah, it's The Real Spill Show. I'm your host, B.I.G. O'Meezy, Big O'Meezy, the great communicator on another edition of Talk Back Tuesday. We got a jam-packed show today, man. I'm talking about I reached out far and wide. I grabbed all the homies. I reached out to my homie, Wilt Wallace, you know what I'm saying, straight out of Atlanta, G.A. I went over there and grabbed young Muzzy of the Mossy straight from the V-Town. Then I went all the way to L.A. by way of Northern Cali, and I tapped in with Chef Q-Bone. You know what I'm talking about? He's a celebrity chef, you know what I'm saying? He's, he's an advocate, you know what I'm saying? He was very intricate in the 92 gang truce. So everybody has their own unique stories. And, you know, one thing about me, I like to wait till like maybe Thursday or Friday and try to just pray on it and see, okay, what type of guest do I want to have on the show? You know, somebody that's going to add, going to give us some game that we can use, you know, in this day and age, it's always good to be able to, you know, like 40 taught us, the game is to be circulated and transferred. And the people that we have coming on the show today is people who, you know, stood the test of time and who, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, they came up from the gutter. They came up from the bottom, you know, just like myself, just like a lot of other people out there trying to get it however they can. You know what I'm talking about in this day and age. So today's show is going to be jam packed. I got DJ Mighty Mike. He's our guest DJ. So he got a mix in. I heard it earlier. It's dope as hell. You know what I mean? So we just going up today, man. Not only that, but I got my homie Birdo and GB. Birdo, the sports guy. Birdo, what's happening? GB, the OG and the place to be. You know what I'm saying? I hope y'all had a good weekend. What's up with y'all?
Man, oh, boy, man, had a great weekend. You know, out there.
Awesome weekend.
I know, Birdo, I know you had all kind of baseball games and all kind of things with your kids. You know, getting them prepared for life. I seen you send me footage of your son. What, he got his first home run, right?
Yeah, his first high school home run. You know, shout out to Berto III out there at Bradshaw Christian High School. Quite the squad they got there. Currently 6-0 and ranked 18th in the San Joaquin section. And, you know, not bad for a school that only has about 235 kids. So, once again, shout out to young Berto for hitting that ball a long way over the fence, and it's a continuous grind, you know, and my little girl's doing the the goalie thing with the comp soccer. So, you know, boom, 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 one game after the other.
One thing I've seen with my homie T. Mitchell, my family T. Mitchell and his sister, like his sister played soccer and he played, you know, of course, football. But if you stay at it and you stay on them and they keep their grades popping, you know what I mean, and point them in the right direction. Just like my homie from Dago, his son just got a baseball scholarship to LSU playing, you know what I mean, and, you know, he's a minority and shit like that. So, you know, like I said, if you stick and stay on them and they got that hunger and they really want to be about it, then, you know, it's all going to pay off. All these away games in this rain. You know, I wasn't going to talk about the rain, even though it is raining today and shit like that and tomorrow. But, you know, since God gave us a reprieve and he gave us, like, what, 3 days of sunlight, I guess we shouldn't bitch and moan about it. GB, what you got going on? How was your weekend?
Oh, man, my weekend was awesome, Big O. Man, it you know, enjoyable every week, man. You know, chilling with my wife, man, cooking up some new different meals in the air fryer, you know, and all that great stuff. And the weather was, we had some thunderstorms going on, still like in the upper 70s and 80s. You know, it's that man, that season, that hurricane weather. But, you know, everything was, other than that, was beautiful. Beautiful weekend.
That's awesome. Man,
I was about to say we should go out there, Omizi, and do a show until he said hurricane weather. And then I was like, oh, never mind, man. The 80s and all that sound real good. But other than that, no, thank you.
Yeah, but I guarantee you it's not. Is it a comfortable 80? Is it like a breeze, or is it like all muggy and moist and shit like that?
Oh, man, it's comfortable, man, fellas, until June or July come, and that's when you don't want to be here.
Sacramento, when they get to be about 108, and then, you know, we could be talking all this shit about the rain and it being cold sometimes, but, you know, in the summertime July, around, you know, late June, July, when it's 105, 113 like it was this past summer when we had them astronomical ass numbers. You know, we in the times where everybody talk about this unprecedented, like this all kind of shit that never happened before, that, you know, like we were just talking about earlier, we were talking about the school shooting, and we didn't have plenty of school shootings, but it just that now this one is like the first, like, what is it, transgender shooter that, you know, and prayers and thoughts of prayers out to everybody involved. And it's just, you know, like I seen it on Twitter, and instantly I was getting ready to type thoughts and prayers plus, you know, because that's all we say, thoughts and prayers. We talk about guns, and then we just move on to the next. So Nashville, they just had a school shooting, a couple of kids, some adults, and it's a 28-year-old Tennessee resident. It's just we always come with the thoughts and prayers, and then we just go on the status quo. Everybody go on with life. It's so normal now. You know what I mean? So I don't know what to think about it. You still got kids, you know, of age, you know, that got to go to school and all that. How does this hit you, Berto?
Well, the thing is, you know, that's the thing. You know, having a 9-year-old daughter and knowing that two of the victims were 9-year-old kids, and it goes back to, like you say, of, you know, we send our condolences and we move on, and yeah, life continues for us, but we don't think about those families and how it now every day for them and their family is going to be completely different. So I really hope that God blesses those families with a lot of strength and guidance, and, you know, tries to really give them some solace. But, you know, I couldn't fathom, and knowing that this female that identifies as transgender went in with, you know, two AK-47s and a pistol, two of them which were legally purchased. It's just insane, man. You can't believe she had everything written out and planned and then just goes up in execution style on everybody. It's unbelievable.
And they had the doors locked, but that didn't matter because she just off the jump just shot out the windows and climbed through the front door, and just walked up in there. You know what I'm saying? Straight commando style.
Yeah. Straight commando style is right, because the first thing I thought of when I saw that was the Terminator, right, when he would just go up and shoot doors and just blow them open to get in. And unfortunately, this young lady or you know, I'm not sure how to – I don't want to be disrespectful went in there in that same way to terminate people and you know, just change lives. I was reading that the lady that worked in the school office was happened to be on break, and as she was walking back to the office, she heard the school shooting and decided to flee, you know, about being in the right place at the right time or a matter of seconds can just change your life.
That's true. That's true. And then, well, like I said, we give our thoughts and prayers and condolences and all that. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we get some legislation at some point. We got an election cycle coming up, and, you know, everybody will be held accountable, you know. So, and we do have votes, so we, you know, we, and so it's like you look at the crime in Oakland and you see every, you know, like it's restaurants that got robbed like twice in one day. And Like the power went out today in Oakland and they got to robbing, you know, a couple of restaurants and just, you know, so it's like you want gun control, but at the same time you want to be able to protect yourself because you know that law enforcement can't be there all the time. So, and then you got people who get these different type of weapons, but they be 5150 and there's not no checks and balance as far as background checks, like real good background checks. Check, you know, make sure that they don't, you know, like I'm talking about like psychological background checks, you know what I mean? Like if you, you know, mm-hmm. if you manic depression or you got issues that, or you didn't have, you know, batteries against, you know, your mates or something like that, it's like you should not be able to get those type of high powered weapons, AR-15 and shit like that, you know what I mean? So at least you minimize the damage to some degree.
Shout out to Chris Calico. You know, it goes back to our show last week of how real mental health is, right? And even those, like you said, something like a psychological background check or really checking in depth. But how do you guys feel, Omizi and GB? You know, in 2021 is when Tennessee became one of the states where you didn't need a permit anymore. As long as you were 21 and over, you could carry concealed or open. You know, states, do you think there's less violence or more violence?
Yeah, but, you know, I feel that now you don't even have to – oh, God, these kids, they know how to get on the Internet, man, and build these things themselves. So they don't even have to even go to a gun shop. You know, that's the way how I see how some of them are buying them, but, man, they can go online and get these parts and build them themselves. So that's another entity to it, you know what I mean, where the parents, they don't know what they're doing. They order these things online. They're building them. The Internet, the social media shows them how to do it, and there you have it. You know, they can search. Otherwise, what I'm saying, they can bypass the gun shops and get the stuff themselves.
That's true. That's true. You can't order, especially for the AR-15. You can order all kind of different parts. Order them
yes.
separately, and then just look online and figure out how to put it together and all that. That's
yes,
definitely, and that's an excellent point. Another thing I wanted to talk about, y'all, was Tekashi 6ix9ine getting stomped out in the LA Fitness in Florida, man. And then the guys who actually did it. One of the dudes who had just got through doing 8 years, they decided they wanted to videotape it and, you know, and broadcast it. A couple of them been doing interviews, like, you know, like on like different, you know, different internet sites and shit like that. Did y'all see the footage?
Yeah, I got to see the footage, you know, and
yeah.
I'm surprised like the rest of them that this is the first time he's been touched. You know, it makes you wonder how he's out there, whether at the World Baseball Classic, at these different clubs, you know, out and about in public, and no one had reached out and touched him. You know, I'm kind of interested to know more in depth of what the issue was with these guys, but that's just wanting to know. I'm surprised more hasn't happened to him, but, you know, it makes you wonder how much the feds are involved in the protection at the same time.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think they definitely follow him, but I think you got the different levels of security. You got your bodyguards, and then you got the feds that follow you, but they don't do anything unless unless something really happens. You know what I mean? Like they basically just monitor you, you know, because he's still a witness. He's still a witness for the government. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, you know, he's like, F it. You know, he's just going to go out there and try to live his life. At least he thought he could. I think he had that. Mm-hmm. He thought that enough Latinos, you know, was looking the other way because he had been on a lot of Latino events and maybe some of them was loving him and some of them wasn't. But, you know, it got to the point where he obviously felt comfortable, you know, going to the gym dolo, even though I think he did have security somewhere close by, but I think he wanted to go in there and at least try to do that by himself maybe, but he just got caught slipping. You know what I mean? And I'm like at some of these facilities, like, what's the purpose of having cameras if you could just watch everybody just walk in, watch him go straight into where this high profile dude is and then just stomp his ass out. Like, now, you know, like I said, man, he went up there and testified, and he got, and that's what you get when you do shit like that. But, you know, yeah, all the videotaping, yeah, it, just do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? But to videotape yourself, I don't know. But we live in a world where everybody is just clout chasing. They're going to do all that type of shit. Like,
yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, Omizi, maybe you can give us some insight. You know, like you said, you have as a superstar, you know, you being – a personal bodyguard at one point and then evolving, you know, what other protection is there? Because obviously law enforcement is involved when you guys tour, go on a show. What other protection is there besides the event security? You know, how aware is law enforcement in that city? Do they have, you know, plainclothes officers there as extra protection?
Now, you seen how it was when he had at least 3, 4, 5 guards with him, armed guards and shit like that. That's what he got. It's called a detail. He got to get some type of detail. You know what I mean? He got to get back to his little security detail. He don't got no homies. Like, you know, most of these cats out here, they go around with 6, 7 homies, and, you know, maybe one or two got a thumper. But for the most part, you know what I mean? You know, you got to have some goons with you. You know what I mean? He just got to have to.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, that costs a lot of money. That costs a lot of money because, you know, it's a lot of risk. You know what I mean? So it's like, it look good.
Yeah,
it looks good,
right,
and all that. But them folk that's around you got to get paid because their life is on the line and shit like that. And you got to have 24-hour security. You know what I mean? So he would have been better off just buying a ranch or something somewhere in Oklahoma, somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean? Cut his colorful hair off and just, you know, blend into the atmosphere. That's what I would suggest if it was up to me. But I digress. So yeah, man, that's good conversation, man. We got the homie Will Wallace on the way. We still got Young Muggsy on the way. We still got Chef Q-Bone on the way. And since it's sick, I'm gonna call it sick with a day. It is what it is. We just gonna call it sick with a day. I'm just gonna take a break real quick, and we're gonna start with my homie Hit a Slim, man. And then we're gonna be right back with the homie Will, man. It's the Real Spill Show. Hello.
Look, this that f***ing hog, this that f***ing hog. Pull up on that dog, pull up on that dog. Hey, you know I got a loud bag, and I ain't looking for no zigzag. I'm looking for it. Different on this base soil.
Different.
These is not loyal.
They not loyal.
This is not stopping. I'll pull up at your mama house.
Base knock.
Stepping when I count the check, these better show respect. Hey, already beating up the lane. See the big yellow ball sitting with a chain.
All time.
This some old school, too short slap. Run the gate, trying to bring in my back. Designer, man, my got a clothing line. I'ma break bread with him every time.
Yeah.
It's that hog.
It's that hog.
Pull up on that dog.
Pull up on that dog.
And you know I got that loud bag.
And you know I got that loud bag.
Now I ain't looking for no zigzag.
I ain't looking for
Chef Smelly got a special on them crab fries.
Again.
That's the goat. Cross the bridge to the city line.
Banana.
Homie Paul from the cellar and the fur guy.
The soil.
You know we walking in on a head nod.
Oil.
Let the get icy, it's a light show. I can hit these corners with a blindfold.
Corners.
This that 40 water.
40.
Click, click. Hard headed. And you know he with this. Red cup, no chaser in this.
Make it get to sweating in this.
You know,
she was choosing off the rip. It was evident.
Loving me.
And you know, it's independent. It's just my
hugging me.
Hugging me.
Terms. Earned.
Getting it.
Alcohol.
Drinking.
Jump on.
We was breaking up the streets with them leather guts.
Move.
Smoking on that peach cobbler. Joker's up.
Blowing.
Blowing through the lights and the stop sign.
Smash.
Home safe, so I guess it wasn't my time.
Let this
get icy, it's a light show.
Ooh.
I can hit these corners with a blindfold.
Corners.
Yeah, this that nicotina, that Dre dog. To them bike life boys bringing out them hogs. Hitting that noose. Running up a check, do it for the boost.
No.
Running, hit the back way, up to 101.
Love
to the Seraphim Bridge, trying to beat the sun. It's that hog.
It's that hog.
Pull up on that dog.
Pull up on that dog.
Hey, you know I got that loud bag.
You know I got that loud bag.
I ain't looking for no zigzag.
I ain't looking for it.
Hey, yo, what's good? It's your guy, B.I.G. O'Meezy. Big O'Meezy, the great communicator. Sick with it, Lieutenant. Sick with it, Deputy. The whole thing, man. And you're listening to The Real Spill Show. And did you know we available right now to subscribe on Apple Podcasts? Man, do yourself a favor, man. Do us a favor. Go ahead and subscribe. Appreciate it.
And with no further ado, man, I've been knowing this cat for a long time, and I've been seeing his drive. I've been seeing his push. I've been seeing him start at the bottom and work his way all the way up to the position that he is right now, man. I'm talking about none other than the whole boy, Wilt Wallace, man. Make some noise.
What up, what up?
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Welcome to the show, brother. Welcome to the Real Spill Show.
Thank you, family. I appreciate the intro.
How you been doing, man? I seen you active. I seen you. First of all, I'm trying to figure out how did you know. I know we started the interview, but how did you become a Commanders fan, a Redskin, a formerly Redskin, now Commanders fan?
Well, I was born and raised in a town called Reston, Virginia, which is about 20 minutes outside D.C. So that was the hometown team. And, you know, when I was growing up, I was born in the early 80s. So when I was growing up, we went to, like, 4 Super Bowls in 10 years. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know.
Oh, flex.
You know, I mean, but it wasn't just because we was rocking. It was the hometown team. So, like, my pops grew up in North Carolina. And going back to when he was growing up in the 50s, they ain't had no team in the Carolinas, so his team was the Redskins. So, you know, it just kind of got passed down. My older brother, my pops, it's just kind of like a family thing, you know.
So I just seen that Magic Johnson and I think about, I don't know how many other people that he putting together, that they trying to buy the team. Did you peep that?
I did peep that. I heard that they put up a $6 billion bid, too, which is crazy because the Broncos went for 4.5 last year, and that was the biggest ever. So for them to drop $6 billion.
They're talking about $8 billion. They're talking about $8 billion for the Commanders. $8 billion.
That's crazy, bro. That's crazy. Nah, but I would love for Magic Johnson. I mean, you know, he got a history and a legacy of winning everywhere he goes. I've seen what he did with the Dodgers. Obviously, you know, goes unsaid with what he did with the Lakers. So I would love for him to come apart and help us get things right in D.C. because it's been 25 years of misery under Dan Snyder, man. I can't even lie.
And you might get some help from Baltimore if you get a specific quarterback that don't like his position. You know what I'm saying? You know, that might just want to come over there and rock with y'all. But, you know, I ain't going to get y'all no. You know what I mean? I'm a 40-timer fan, you know what I'm saying? But – yeah, no, we do watch the formerly known as Redskins, and they just in my lifetime, I don't think they ever was great. I mean, you know, I'm older, but it's like I'm talking about, like, you know what I'm saying, like it's either Dallas or Steelers or Niners or, you know, know what I mean? Denver, shit like that. It's like, even though, like you just said, you know, they have four championships, and it's a lot of teams that don't have none. So that's still, you know, that's still kudos. Y'all do. Y'all might be due.
Look, when Joe Gibbs was the coach in the 80s, we was lit. And we used to battle y'all. We used to battle the Eagles. We was good when the Cowboys wasn't even right yet. You know what I'm saying? We won the Super Bowl in 82, 87, and 91. We won three of them in a nine-year span. You know what I'm saying? And went to four. We lost that one to the Raiders when they had Marcus Allen. So, you know, but again, it's just been so long, you know, since we've been dominant that I get it. People don't even remember that no more,
see,
you know?
Do you hear this? See, you almost sound like a Raider fan. Only Raider fans ain't won since hell long either. So they don't be having nothing to stand on. But you know, I like that. I like that. Plus, you already committed because you already took your daughter to a couple games. So it's like you already indoctrinated her. You know what I'm saying? Even though she might have her, she can't really root for the Falcons because they trash. They like super trash. Ever since Patriots came back and beat their ass, it was like they heartbroken still. You watched that? You remember that game?
Of course. I remember that.
Oh, my
you know,
God.
I, as you know, I live in Atlanta, so, you know, that was a big deal down here, you know. I'm not.
So
I'm
they
no
ain't
Falcons
even recovered.
Fan,
they ain't recovered.
They ain't recovered. Now, you know what I mean?
Bro.
But they one of them teams you're talking about. They ain't never won a Super Bowl. You know, we always say two wings and no rings. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Falcons is.
Well, see, at least you're okay. I see you a real fan, though. I do be peeping when you know, I follow you on Facebook. You know, we go back, but I'm just saying I still, you know, a lot of people be like, hey, man, what you been up to? Knowing we got all type of social media for motherfuckers to follow, that'd be the fakest shit ever.
Yeah.
If you hit me and be like, what you been up to, O'Meezy? I'm like, man, I ain't even talking to you. It's too many ways for you to see what a motherfucker doing. You know what I'm saying? Just so, you know. But the reason why I wanted to have you come on the show is because, you know, we live in a world where everybody wants that instant gratification. They don't want that. They don't want that grind, that extended grind. Your whole
right.
career has been a grind. Even you know, even you know, I believe. I think when I first met you, it was like 06, and I think you had picked me up from the airport. Was that the first time we had met when you had picked me up from the airport in Burbank?
That's right. That was the first time. Yeah.
So it's crazy because for all the listeners and I see the phone line. Everybody, when we get a chance, I will open up the phone line. But when you picked me up, that was the day me and 40 did the MTV Punk. For everybody who's seen the MTV Punk, they had called me and they was like, we need you to fly out here. We got MTV Punk trying to punk 40. See, everybody was thinking that I had got punked. Like I didn't know what was going on, but they had called me. And told me, you know what I'm saying, that only I could set it up because only I would be in the parking lot with him when the police rolled up and all that type of shit. And only I would get him to stick his fingers in the window and help push the shit down. But you had picked me up. And you were still in your struggle stage. I could tell because the car damn near was like, you know what I'm saying? It was like, I'm like, oh, shit, they picked the nigga up. And, what kind of car was it at that particular time? I know you remember.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Mitsubishi Mirage.
Somebody from the label go pick you up and shit. I'm like, oh, bet. I see Will pull up. I said, oh, shit. It's crazy. I said, you got AC. I think I remember seeing it. But it was a hot day. I know it was a hot day. You know what I'm saying? But that
I don't
whole,
even think I had AC,
was,
man. I think my AC was busted.
Nah, you
I
didn't, bro.
Struggle.
Nah,
was,
you didn't. Nah,
yeah.
you didn't.
Yeah.
Cause I remember it was hot as fuck. It was hella hot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm pretty sure. So that's why I say shit like that sticks in my mind when I see you now in your elevated position. You know what I'm saying? It's like here you, you know, that's why in the industry we always say careful how you treat people when you see them in their beginning stages, you know what I'm saying? Because you're going to see them at the top, if you know what I'm saying, most likely. A lot of people that, and you know this because you're in the industry, you see a lot of people that started as interns, and now they in the big positions and shit like that, right?
That's right. Yep.
And you and you only stay in that position by being humble like you are. And all the ones that's humble, I learned that from 40, is about being humble and being consistent and shit like that. So now tell the people how you started in the music business.
Yeah, it was a long journey, man. Kind of like you said, I took the steps, you know what I'm saying? I don't really believe in cheat codes. You know, I think that you can skip steps, but the quicker you rise, the quicker you fall, you know? And I feel like through a long process, through a long journey, you build a solid foundation that you can stand upon. And before I get into the way I started, I do want to just say, man, you are a man of your word and what you said. You always treated me with the same respect that day you met me as a assistant in the promo department at Warner, barely just got in the door, no AC in my car, driving you around Hollywood in a busted ride. And you treated me the same respect you treat me now, you know, as I've grown and elevated in my career and my lifestyle. And, you know, we have a saying, you treat the janitor the same way you treat the CEO. Because like you said, you never know where people are going to end up. And, you know, sometimes the janitor deserves more respect than the CEO because of the way he carries himself. You know what I'm saying? So you can't always just look at where people are at. You know, you got to look at the long-term vision. But to kind of get, you know, make a long story short, I started my career when I was in college in Atlanta. I was going to Morehouse College. And I started interning for an independent record label out here in Atlanta called BME Recordings, which you obviously remember because that was Lil Jon's label.
Yeah.
When 40 went did the deal over there. So even though I hadn't met you yet, I had kind of been up on 40's projects and some of the stuff that y'all were doing back then from that perspective as an intern for John and them. You know, I used to go pass out CDs on the college campus, pass out flyers, put up snipes, put up poster boards on street corners, stuff like that, you know, street team work and all that stuff. And that's how I really got started. My big homie Orlando McGee, he was John's head of marketing and promotion at the time, and he let me be his intern. So he would go on the road with all the artists with, at that time, it was like Lil Scrappy, Trillville, Crime Mob, 40. He would go on the road with the different artists, and he would meet DJs while he was on the road. He would get their contacts, and then he would come back to me and tell me to organize the contacts, reach out to these guys, and build relationships. And that's really how I started my career. It's just I would be in the office. You know, I didn't have no expense account or nothing to move around like everybody else was, but I would just be on the phone, and I would call the DJs. I'd reach out to them. You know, this is back in the day when we used to ship vinyl in the mail to the DJs to make sure they was playing our singles or send them the CD singles, and I would make sure they were getting serviced. If Warner wasn't taking care of them, I'd send it to them, or TVT wasn't taking care of them, I'd send it to them. I'd send them T-shirts, the little Crunk energy drinks and stuff like that. Just built up relationships, you know, through doing that on the phone with DJs nationally, and then in Atlanta, just doing the hand-to-hand stuff in the street, you know.
So the longest I've seen that you work as far as one location, one specific location, was Warner. Was that after BME? You stayed after BME, and went straight on Warner Brothers.
Not straight. So I interned for BME for about 2 years. And what I would do just to kind of make ends meet is other independent artists would see me with BME and be like, well, if you're working with John and them, then we want to hire you to work our stuff. So I started doing little street team accounts here in Atlanta and working other little independent artists just to make ends meet, to pay my bills and stuff like that at the time. And I felt like I was going nowhere fast. So at a certain point, I just started saving up my money and really cut back on everything and just got real disciplined and saved up enough money to move to L.A. And that same 1999 Mitsubishi Mirage with no air conditioning in it that you saw me in that day, I drove it from Atlanta. I packed up everything I owned. Anything that didn't fit in that car, I sold it. And then I packed up that car, and I drove 3,000 miles across the country to L.A. For an opportunity, because I just knew that there was something bigger ahead of me. And I was always told, if you want to work with a major label, you got to go through New York or LA at that time. You know, this is like 2005, right? And they were like, you got to go through New York or LA. And I had a brother, my brother, he lived in LA at the time. So I was like, all right, I could post up, rent a room from him or something while I kind of hustle my way in. So once I moved out to LA, there was probably about an 8-month period where I was just out there hustling and trying to find my way into one of the buildings before I actually officially got with Warner. And even once I got to Warner, I had to come in as an intern there, and then I had to get hired through a temp agency, and then I got a full-time position with Warner. So even that was like a six-month process. Once I got in the door, it took me 6 months to be like to officially get on the staff.
So you had to go through a temp agency?
Yeah.
In L.A.?
In L.A., yeah, yeah. So they had a temp agency that would hire the assistants for Warner. So basically, at the time, I got a job at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, you know what I'm saying, to pay the bills. I was making about $40,000 a year at Enterprise renting cars. And I got a call, you know, with an opportunity to link up with a guy you know, Brandon Scales. And Brandon at the time had just became the head of he had just became the head of mix show promotion at Warner, and I was told that he needed some help. So I tried to, you know, connect with Brandon because I had talked to him on the phone when I was interning for BME. I used to call him to get stuff serviced. So I was like, okay, I can just plug in with him and maybe just help him out, you know, and just kind of work my way in the door, not looking for a job or a handout, but, hey, man, let me come and provide some value to you, and then maybe you can see my worth and help me find a position, you know. So that's kind of the way I viewed it. And, man, I had to chase Brandon for about 3 months, man. And finally got Brandon on the phone, and he set up a meeting with me. And I came in for the meeting. He kind of stalled me out for a minute, had me sitting out in the lobby for a couple hours. Then he let me come in, sat down with him. And he was like, yeah, man, you still got your DJ list or your contacts from when you was in Atlanta? I was like, yeah. He's like, break it out. Let's make some calls. I was like, damn, well, I ain't bringing it with me today. He's like, oh, man. And so right then, I'm like, yo, my whole dream about to just walk away. You know, this is my first time walking in a major record label. I'm seeing pictures of Madonna and Prince on the wall and, you know, all kinds
of,
you know, I'm like, yo.
Yeah,
that office
ain't no punk. Yeah, man.
That office was real. That was like, you know what I'm saying, it had a lot of history in that building. And I was like, I'm in the door now. They ain't going to push me out. And I was like, I just looked at him. I said, well, pull out your DJ list. I'll cold call your DJs and I'll show you what I'm about. And that kind of, I saw a light bulb go off in his head. He's like, oh, he ain't scared. You know, I just seen him kind of react like he ain't scared. He ain't say nothing, but his eyes kind of lit up. And he was like, all right, don't worry about that. He was like, come in tomorrow, and if you can come in here 3 days a week, 8 hours a day, I'll try to find you $800 a month that I can pay you out of a street team budget, you know, just as a little consultant, as a 1099, you know, not a W-2, like a 1099. And, like I said at the time, I'm making $40,000 a year in Enterprise. He just offered me $800 on a 1099, $800 a month. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I walked out of that meeting, picked up the phone, called Enterprise, and said, I'm never coming back in. And that next day, I went in there in Brandon's office, and I sat there every single day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. until finally he looked at me. He was like, man, you really want this shit? He was like, well, don't worry about the $800 a month. He said, they're about to hire a temp for me. So instead of them just sending me some random temp that don't know nothing about the music business, I'm going to send you over there to the temp agency. You interview with them, and then they can hire you and send you back over here because I don't have a budget to pay you. And I was like, all right, bet. So that's how I ended up going through the temp agency. Started off making like $12 an hour or something like that, I don't know, $10, $12 an hour. And did that for probably about a month or two. And then eventually they hired me full-time as his assistant. And I started off making $30,000 a year, which at that time was, you know, and even this time, that was nothing in L.A., but somebody put my dream in front of me. Like, I was in the building, so nothing was going to push me out. So I just, you know, and the next thing, you know, long story short, 15 years later, I was the senior vice president of the promo department at Warner Records. So kind of worked my way up from the bottom.
But it's like they say, it's like I tell everybody, you got to get your pinky toe in the dough. As long as you can get your pinky toe in the dough, man, you can make shit shake.
That's
you
right.
You know, being, and shut up, Muggsy, he on the line. Being that we've been rocking with record labels since 1995, at least when I start working with 40, when his first album came out, when In a Major Way came out and he was signed to Jive, you know, when you start going to these real record labels, these real New York offices and these real LA big offices and you see all these floors and you see the security that got to buzz you up and all this type of shit. See, a lot of people, you know, I don't know if they got a misconception or they don't know what these labels, you know, when people be like, oh man, I would never sign with a label, but I don't think they really know what a label, you know, what it, you got the old school and you got like what it really was, like the Warner building every floor, yeah. You got photography, you got A&R, you got this, but you get quality music though. You know what I'm saying? I think I seen 50 talking about it. It's like you got an A&R, like there's no groups because a lot of the groups that were out back then, people put together and people, they picked the songs and they sat and they went over the ideas and everybody pitched in, like rooms full of people pitched ideas and shit like that. Do you think that a lot of that needs to come back industry wise, like to save the industry? You know, like there's always going to be artists signed to labels, but do you think that for more urban groups, since you know we talking about urban, we think more like crime, the crime mobs, they were just talking about like different groups that got put together. Do you think we need to get more labels involved in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important for labels to definitely be involved with artist development, but sometimes also it's like, you know, like you said with crime mobs, sometimes it's the independent label. Sometimes, I think that was more of a BME thing and John and his ability and foresight to see what was happening in Atlanta and take that movement and package it in a way that the major label could understand it. Cause I don't know if they would have just understood it and they just showed up, you know what I mean? So I think collaboration is important. But I think there's also, I think sometimes we in the music business get too set on one way of doing things. And there's many different ways to skin a cat. You know, it just depends on how you want to structure your career. You know what I mean? I feel like, yeah, there is a very top-level mainstream approach to certain things, but also I think that there's levels and tiers that people neglect that you could have a very substantial career in music with or without a label. You know what I'm saying? Just depending on who your audience is, what your music is, what your sound is, what your vibe is. Is it a niche market? Is it a mainstream crossover type of thing? You know what I mean? So I feel like it's hard to just package it and say like, hey, we all need to do this one thing. I think that there's levels to it. And I think that definitely there is a need for that in certain areas with the artist development that you're talking about. But I also think that sometimes people can neglect the independent grind, which can also be very lucrative and beneficial depending on how, you know, you structure your career. You know what I mean? So I think that everybody kind of has to do what's right for them. You know what I mean? Because I look at somebody like, I went to Kansas City one time and got a chance to meet Tech N9ne and those guys and everything that they did out there. And I saw what John did in Atlanta. And, you know, I've seen, you know, like you said, with 50 and a lot of different people who have built these independent entrepreneurship ventures. You know what I mean? And there's something to be said for that too. And for the foresight of the Jermaine Dupri's and, you know, all these guys, the QC's like Coach and P and all these people that have had the foresight to kind of find the artists, find the movements, create the culture, you know, cultivate the brand and really package it in a way where it could expand to a new level. So I think that, you know, it's always going to be important to have artist development, but I think there's different ways to approach it.
So you've worked some of the biggest records. You work with Wale, you work with Saweetie, right? What are some of the new up-and-coming groups that you see coming out nowadays?
That, man, there's so many.
I mean, you don't, so not many. Like not like just mainstream, but people like you that you rock with.
Yeah, there's so many. You know, I'm always biased for the DMV just because that's where I grew up, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. And I know he's not as new, and he is signed to a major, but somebody that I got a lot of respect and appreciation for is Cordae. You know what I'm saying? He has a way to his approach of music that to me is very quality. You know what I mean? And he's very talented and gifted. But there's a lot of
and he got a good he got a good personality too. He got a good personality.
He does.
I've had peeped a few of it. Yeah, he do got it. His circle is crazy. He'd be with Drake, then he'd be with – like, his circle is vast. He'd be around with hella different people.
It is. He's very diverse in his range, too. You know, like, the record he did with Anderson .Paak, it was crazy. You know what I mean? Like, he's somebody that I'm like, wow, man, that's impressive. And for it to come out of my backyard, he's from the Maryland side. I'm from the Virginia side. But we all kind of one area out there in the DMV. Somebody else that's from that area – that I had a chance to get to know personally a little bit early on before he kind of blew up was Brent Faiyaz. He's amazing. He has incredible music. And to see what he's done, you know, independently without a major was very impressive. You know, there's a lot of talent out here, man. I would be, you know, I don't want to leave anybody out or, you know, but it's just there's so much out there. And it's funny that you mentioned Wale because for me, that was like a dream come true because coming from the DMV, you know, I was coming up and getting in the game around the same time that Wale was coming up and getting in the game. You know, that 05, 06 era when he was starting to pop is around the time I had moved out to L.A. And so all my cats back home was always hitting me like, yo, man, Wale, you're killing it out here. So full circle, you know, another maybe 5-6 years later, I had kind of leveled up at Warner. And then he, you know, come in through Ross and MMG had done the deal at Warner and being able to work with him. And then fast forward full circle again where he left Warner, went to Atlantic for years, then came back to Warner in 2018. And a lot of people had written him off. And I got a chance to work with him again at Warner. Now, this time I had even leveled up more and I was kind of in a more powerful, influential position by then. And to be a part of his single On Chill, which ended up being one of the biggest records of his career, and kind of revived him and brought him back to the forefront where he belonged. That was just a real special moment for me. I remember we was at a Commanders game together, and he was performing his record, Sumi, at halftime. And I was standing down there on the field, and it was just a moment of like, man, the team that I grew up rooting for, the music culture that I wanted to be a part of, and now here I am a part of this moment with the biggest rapper from my hometown, you know, probably the most legendary cat to come out of the DMV at this point, you know, you got to kind of give it up to Wale. So to be a part of that, it's just been special. I mean, I'm still friends, you know what I'm saying? He'll check in on me or hit me about who the Commander signed and who, you know, whatever. He's a real dude, man. He's always treated me
with
love and respect. Yeah, so, yeah. He's another one that rode in one of my busted cars. It wasn't a Mitsubishi Mirage when he first moved to Atlanta to work on he came to Atlanta to work on an Ambition album. I think it was like 2010, 2011. And I had a little Nissan Altima at that time.
Did
and
you
I
have some AC? I hope you had some AC with Wale.
I had AC. I had automatic windows. I had heated seats. You know, it was an Altima, but it was a full package. You know what I'm saying? I had the reverse cam and all that.
I feel like I was in a good place when you picked me up and shit like that. You know, I think the hyphy movement was just starting to take off and we was doing a lot of different things and transitioning and shit like that. So it was like, we was all going, I probably was nervous as hell too, because they had to wire me up inside the restaurant, in the bathroom of the restaurant. So I probably was nervous like that. I don't know if I was quiet. I'm usually not, but I probably was like on some other shit.
Dude,
but when you
let me just tell you was so cool.
Okay.
I couldn't tell no nerve. You was just cool. I was like, man, that dude cool as a fan, and I've had respect and love for you ever since that day because you was a real one. Like, you meet a lot of cats in this industry, and they look right through you. They don't even see you. You know what I'm saying? Unless they know what you can offer them. And I had nothing but giving you a ride in a busted car, and you treated me with respect. And I was like, man, that's my guy right there ever since then. But go ahead, man. I didn't mean to cut you off.
So usually we tap in when I got a new record, I send it to you and shit. You give me your feedback and shit like that. And you had hit me back and had told me that you wasn't with I really wasn't tripping on the Warner thing, but you had hit me back and told me, you was like, I'm no longer with Warner, right? And I was like, yeah. I said, and I instantly was like, yeah, but you're going to bounce back somewhere else. And I don't even think it was not that long before you hit me, before I saw that you got with Columbia.
Yep, I left Warner. My last day at Warner was March 31st, 2022, and my first day at Columbia was May 2nd. So it was about a month.
Damn.
To be honest, it was about a month.
Talk about that. Talk about how that felt to be able to bounce back real quick, like.
It was a blessing, man. You know, God makes.
I ain't gonna lie, because that,
you know,
the emotions in that text, if I read back it, for a hot second, you probably wasn't feeling too good.
Yeah, well, you know, every season comes to an end, man, and Warner raised me in the game, you know, in a lot of ways, and I have nothing but good things to say about my time there. I was at Warner for 15 years, man. I spent most of my adult life at that company. Saw many people come and go over that time, learned a lot, you know what I'm saying, and will always have love and respect for them. But it just, the season was over, and I knew it. I felt it, you know what I'm saying, and I just trusted God, man, and I was, you know, I my contract was up for renewal, and I decided not to do a new deal there. I decided to just kind of pivot, you know, and I thought maybe that there might be, you know, other opportunities out there for me, but I didn't really know what, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know where or how, but I kind of took a leap of faith, you know what I mean? And so when you had texted me, I was in that transition period. I was kind of in my dark phase. I really wasn't talking to a lot of people about, because everybody's like, where are you going? What you doing next? I know you got a plan. And I was just kind of like, let me just be, you know, over here and just figure it out. You know what I'm saying? I've been with one company for 15 years. Like, let me kind of figure it out. You know what I mean? So, you know, Pete, my name is Wilt Wallace. So it's like Wilt from Warner. Like, you know, WW has just always been Wilt from Warner, you know. So I had to kind of go through a process of, you know, reinventing myself from my identity perspective, at least from a branding perspective. But when Columbia came, it was just the right fit, man. And it was such a dream come true, because growing up, I was a big fan of Nas and Fugees and Rod Carey and a lot of different stuff that came out in the 90s on Columbia. And I remember, you know, going and buying the CDs and reading the liner notes and seeing Columbia Records and always thinking like, wow, you know, Illmatic came out on Columbia Records, man. You know, that's legendary to me, you know, when I'm a shorty. I was in high school at that time. And so when they came calling, it was a no-brainer, man. They had a lot of good stuff going on. They have a great team over at Columbia. And just for a chance to be a part of that history, that legacy, like Warner has deep roots in music, but I think it goes back probably like 50, 60 years. But Columbia, I think, is over 100 years. You know, we're talking like they were around with the phonograph, you know what I'm saying? So this is like one of the original labels, like RCA, Columbia, like go way back, the history. So to be a part of that, it was just something that I had to embrace and take advantage of. And I've been there almost a year. And it's been a blessing, man. It's been an amazing ride. It was kind of a culture shock, though, because, you know, after working for one company for 15 years, I had to learn all new systems. And now I'm the new guy. I'm used to everybody else coming in and having to adapt to my way of doing things, because I was the person that had history. Now I'm starting over from scratch. It was my first time, like, getting a new job since I was 25. I'm 42 now. You know what I'm saying? So it was a big transition, but it's a blessing, man. And I, you know, give all credit to God, man. All praise to God.
Well, you should definitely find a picture of that whip and put that up somewhere. Frame that shit. Just so you, every time I always remember that car. I always, when every time I see you, I say, damn. Remember that hot ass car Will pick me up in? Look at this motherfucking.
Yo,
God
I'm
is
a,
good
I
all
got,
the
yo,
time.
All this, I got a picture of it. I'm gonna send it to you after this interview. I'm gonna send you a picture of the car just so you can remember what you were riding. I'll send you a picture of that one and the one I picked.
Hey, I need that. What do you got going for the future? In the future, what's up in like, is that, are you in your dream position, or is it next level that you're thinking about going?
Well, you know, hey, man, nothing's ever permanent, right? In life, you're always, you know, the only thing consistent is change. So I embrace the fact that this can't be the end, right? It has to be just a moment, but I'm just embracing this moment right now. It's still kind of new. It's been like 10 months, and I'm enjoying it. I love it. It's a dream come true, but you know, you can't ever get complacent. You know, I never thought that I was going to work at Warner more than 2 years. My plan was like, I'm going to go work at Warner for 2 years, learn what they know, and then go put on my cats back home in VA that can spit, you know, that was rapping. I was going to go and start my own company and put them on, you know, which I still put out music with them and everything else. I helped them put their music out and things of that nature. It never reached the levels that I expected it to or, you know, dreamed of it reaching. But at the same time, the plan was never like go work in a major label for the rest of my life. It kind of just happened and the opportunities were presented and I just continue to grow with each step. So although I kind of in my mind, I don't like to tell people all my moves in my mind, I have a vision of where I would like to be as I continue to grow in the future, but I always leave myself open to being able to pivot, you know what I mean? Because you never know what's going to come in the journey that you didn't expect. So right now I'm on a course. I'm very confident and comfortable where I'm at and going to be here for as long as I can. But, you know, working towards other goals as I continue to grow in my career and always prepared to pivot if I have to, you know.
That's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. You know, I knew that when I hit you a long time, I said, man, I already know it's gonna be excellent conversation because I already peeped your journey and I wanted my listeners to lock that in, and you know what I'm saying, because a lot of people don't understand that it takes a lot to get to where, you know, where we all are in life in general. This shit wasn't no sprint. This shit was a marathon, and there was a lot of highs and lows, and we still, you know, looking for our highs, you know, because we see right. The promised land. One of the biggest things, parties ever, we went to Tom Wiley's house on Grammy night. I think it was Grammy night, man, and I'm going to tell you something. I was taking shots with Big and Rich. Madonna was there. Motherfucking Seal was there. Like, I'm talking about everybody you can imagine was at this motherfucking party. I got drunk as shit. I ain't gonna lie. It was so off the chain. But earlier that day, we was listening and we seen Scrappy's new video and shit like that. You know, so it's like we so blessed to be and see the shit that we've been. It's like I can't imagine. When I think about it, imagine doing something else, it's like this shit'll haunt you if you don't do it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's right. That's it. My brother always said plan B is plan A. You know, there wasn't no plan B. It's all plan A. And you gotta, you know, it's a big risk, man, to take the journey we took. You know what I'm saying? And it's never promised, but you gotta be convicted and know yourself and know that you're doing what's right for you, and it'll steer you to where you're supposed to be, man. And like you said, man, sometimes I got to pinch myself. Like, I can't believe where I'm at or what I get to do for a living. You know, I get to talk about music all day, and it's truly a blessing, man. And I salute you, bro. I see everything that you do and the way you continue to reinvent yourself and grow and the way that you're so dedicated to your passion and your craft. And I just really appreciate you inviting me on here and opening your platform for me to talk about my story and my life. You know, I really do appreciate it, bro.
Hell yeah, and I'm proud of you, brother. Just, you know. I just wanted to make sure I tell you that, all right?
Likewise, man. Thank you for the flowers, my brother.
Send the family my love.
I will. Hey, yo, thank you for always holding down me and mine. You know what I'm saying? You're a solid guy, my brother, and I really do appreciate you, man.
Off top. Appreciate you, brother. All right, coming up next, y'all. Coming up next, we got the homie Young Muggsy, man. Muggzilla from the MOSSIE. We'll be right back, man. It's the Real Spill Show. Hello.
Hi, it's Matt Weaver with Results Transformation Centers, and I'm excited to invite you to our 6-week challenge. Our program has helped thousands of people lose 20 pounds or more free. Get fit, healthy, and sexy this year. Register at results20.com for your chance to lose 20 pounds free. Take the challenge at results20.com.
With no further ado, it's my brother from another mother, man. You know what I'm saying? We Aries, man, over everything. He already know that, man. You know what I'm talking about? On the Real Spill Show on Talk Back Tuesday, make some noise for the homeboy, Young Muggsy.
What it do, what it do.
Aries.
Yo.
Aries, what's happening?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What's
Can
up
you
with
hear
it?
Me? Hey, what's good,
yeah, I hear you.
Man? Okay, man, I'm over here. You know, I'm over here, man, learning from my defeats and celebrating my wins. You dig?
And you better know it, man. How you doing, man? I see you locked in the Monster, the MOSSIE, locked in y'all first show in a long time.
Man, cream of the beat, DJ Mind Motion. He's an Aries like us, man. And, you know, we did his Aries season. Did his podcast, and he was like, Muggs, man, I used to love that. Nobody could be you but you, you know. And can you perform it? Can y'all perform that? And I want you to perform that new record too, man. And it was so much of a blessing because I couldn't wait to perform, bro. To tell you the truth, I couldn't wait.
The stage be calling you, huh?
The stage be calling me, man. We live on stage. That's all we've been doing, you know what I mean? But my life is like the stage, you know? Even at the gym, I'm on stage. You dig?
Uh-oh, Draymond about to get into a fight with somebody, okay?
You watching that Warriors game,
but, you know, we – Man, look, hey, Draymond done kicked the man all in the head and shit. I'm like, Draymond, you doing 18 months. You know, we've been doing it. I remember, we was in L.A. I think we was at Wendy's or something. And 40 was trying to get you to eat some chicken nuggets and stuff. He was like, he called Molly, he said, 40's trying to make me eat. that was the funniest shit ever. Before he called Mom, and said, 40 trying to make me eat.
I mean,
yeah, we had some great times.
Some great times, man, you know. And being young on the road is just a whole different aspect, you know what I'm saying, of life, you know, to where we're at now. But, man, I tell you, that's the funnest times of my life I had, tell you the truth, man.
So now you – I wanted to tell you, too, you know, like during you had the pandemic that you had to navigate, because, you know, for everybody who don't know, you opened up your own, what's the classification of it? And it's more than just a gym, because you do personal training also.
Right. So basically, if you want to get down to it, it's called a boutique gym, you know what I mean? But it's a training facility. So we get down on personal training, tandem training, athletic training, boot camps, all the above, man. And tell you the truth, I made my own routines up in there as far as my own specialty classes called Dumbbell Rock and Total Shred. And they are starting to pick up and go crazy. And created by yours truly, Muggzilla the Silverback Gorilla. And my Fat Fit fam is loving every minute of it, you know. And so we just a unique boutique, you know, training facility, straight up.
How long you been in business?
I've been in business now for going on since 2019,
23
to now.
As a business owner.
I don't want to say I've been in business that long because through that COVID, once we got through that, I had a grand reopening, another reopening. You know what I'm saying? Then I reopened again.
But that's what I was going to say is that, you know, Facebook, you know, I used to watch you and my homie. He owns Results Fitness. And if he wasn't dealing with them, all the changes that they was coming with with the lockdown, everybody moved outside. We was like, okay, so we can work out outside. And then all of a sudden the fires broke out and the air quality was fucked up. And I was like, damn, I said my bro can't catch a fucking break. It's like the COVID kept everybody outside the gym. Then when you go outside the gym, now because of the fire, the oxygen is bad. You can't even do that. Like, how was that? How was you? I know how you was dealing with it, but how did you get through that?
Well, shout out to our boy at Results, man. Good people right there. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, the way I got through it was just, you know, first of all, I got a great fitness family. A lot of my clients got love for me and what I do and respect for what I do. And so they hung in there. So any move I made, they was with it. So when the fire started breaking out, that's when I had to go and get on that Zoom thing. But I made the Zoom to where it was like a stage to where I had to get out there every morning, and my other trainers had to get out there every morning and do the workout with them and make sure that everything is going right. And they on there with the Zoom, 20, 30 people on Zoom going crazy, you know. And so that's how
I said to myself, man, that's amazing, because you gotta, okay, this don't work, this gonna work, this don't work, this don't work. And to get 30, 40 people at home watching on Zoom working out, man, that's loyalty right there.
Yes, sir. Very, very much loyalty. And the game is about loyalty, you know what I'm saying? And with the your fit fam having so much loyalty to what you do, that speaks high volumes of what I do and what my trainers do and what I have taught them to do. And basically, man, I was awarded to be in Who's Who in America. They nominated me for Who's Who in America for 2021 and 2022. And that was a pleasure. You know, that's a big biography that goes around in the United States. And the book is they had a book that's in the United States Congress, you know, up in Washington that I'm up in. You know what I'm saying? So that was really, really big for us. And then to tell you, another thing is 4 years in a row, I won best of, that's called best of, number one gym in Solano County, all right? So it's the reporter's best of, number one gym in Solano County. Since I've gotten to that building, since I started it there, I won best of every year. And then I ended up from the legislation, California state legislation, they ended up nominating me as Employee of the Year in 2021, one of them, you know, and they nominated me as Employee of the Year in Vacaville. So, man, I've been blessed to have a facility and a fitness family that's down with me and letting me, you know, help change lives.
And tell everybody how they can reach you if they want to change their life about the gym. How can they reach you and book an appointment if they want to?
You can go to fitexplosion.net, or you can look us up on Instagram at fitnessexplosion707. And also, we have an app called Fitness Explosion that you could download and book some time, or, you know, look at our pricing and everything on that too. So that's how you can get in touch with us or whatnot. But I tell you what, we have fun. We have a good time. We have a DJ in our evening classes, a live DJ. We have a specialty classes called Dumbbell Rock, Hip Hop Spin, you know, that people can do. Right? And then we're going to implement the Battle Rope Extravaganza and another one called Total Shred. So now we're putting on the growth. You feel what I'm saying? We're putting on that growth on them, you know. But we're getting a lot of transformations, a lot of transformations.
Nice. Okay. And you open 7 days a week?
I'm open 6 days a week, Monday through Thursday. I have early morning classes, 5, 10 a.m., 6, 10 a.m. You like that 10? That's because I'm ignorant, man. I'm always different, right? I'm sick.
That's my birthday. That's my birthday, April 10th. Hello.
That's right. Hello. Yeah, that's right. And I'm April 9th, big bro.
And you do that because you're older than me. You my older brother. You my older brother.
I know you didn't like when I said that before.
I'm your older brother. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yes.
So, look, I want to get into no, go ahead. I want to get into some music.
5, 10 a.m., 6, 10 a.m., 9, 10 a.m., 6, 30 p.m., Monday through Thursday. Then Friday we have our specialty classes, 5:30 a.m., 6:30 a.m., and then Saturdays we have 9, 10 a.m. boot camp class. And we do personal training throughout the week.
Dope. So you never stop doing music. You know, I mean, but now as a solo artist, you never stop doing music. But now you've got the Mossy back and you got a solo a single, right? These are two separate things, or it's all on the same project?
Well, we have the solo single and our new single called Get It. And my solo single is Problem 247 featuring Lotto Zay. And then we got Get It featuring E-40 and Decades. It's on Sick With It Abundance album. It's one of the lead singles off the Sick With It Abundance album that Sick With It just put out. And, man, we are very excited about that. You know, and to tell you the truth, like you said, I've always been putting out my solo music. We the Mossy haven't had an album out since 2006. We haven't had an album out, man. And I'm very excited about this new album that we have coming out. And we're looking at the title with Game On Go. You feel me? Yeah, man, with my solo projects, I was just putting things out there because I love music. And even with the Mafia, I just love music. So we're just putting stuff out and seeing how everybody just – we want everybody to just enjoy this, that mob music, that old school, fresh, but new school music. But we're saying – giving messages and saying things. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. All right, let's get into it. Just that problem. We're going to get into that problem. 24/7 problem.
Man, that problem 247 featuring Lotto Zay, Muggsy featuring Lotto Zay, it go crazy. Let's get into it then.
It's the Real Spill Show.
It was all a dream. I used to read Murder Dog magazine. On magazine in the hillside of the beat. At the street on the watch for the PP. Big brothers on them streets making sure we eat. Young feet grab knuckles on concrete. Athlete went super hard in them cleats. Fuck beef, went vegan, push teeth. I'd rather have the ladies in between the sheets. I'm a big stepper, 30-30 records. Sick Woody Hog, Civil Back Gorilla. Mob City, V-Town, the 22nd letter. Straight trendsetter, bad go-getter.
I'm like, ooh. I've been fucking up a chick, I've been running up on comma. 247, I'm a motherfucking problem. I've been fucking up a chick, I've been running up on comma. 247, I'm a motherfucking problem.
When I step out, I'm straight up dressed. Lemonade chips all on my wrist. Two or three bad ones chasing on my hip. Don't check me, partner, homie, check your BS. I walk with a limp and I carry big stick. Something like a pimp, swear, give me six. Before you get blitzed, scorching hot like grits. I ain't tryna scuffle in, scuffle up my kicks. This UAV shit is made for the kick. Pop a few bottles with party candles lit. Homies on something thick with mugs in the mix. I ain't tryna trip, I'm tryna suck a trick. Rock a few shows and get it highly. Make it back home to my wife and kids. I'ma keep it on the real, stacking chips. Three times crazy, babe, baby, keep it lit.
And I'm like, ooh. I've been fucking up a chick, I've been running up on comma. 247, I'm a motherfucking problem. I've been fucking up a chick, I've been running up on comma. 247, I'm a motherfucking problem. She won't go, she Louis, Fendi, Prada. 365, I'm a motherfucking god. Like they calm down, now fuck that, I'm wild. I'ma pop my shit, little baby popping bottles. The windows down in the road. Oh, I gotta keep it with me, it get cold in the summer. The club popping, love the way when you drop it. We club hopping, I just want you to jump. I gotta like, ooh. Yeah, shawty know she popping, you can tell how she move. I've been fucking up a chick, I've been running up on comma. 247, I'm a motherfucking problem. I've been fucking up a chick, I've been running up on comma. 247, I'm a motherfucking problem. I've been running up a chick, I'm 247, I'm a motherfucking problem.
Yo, what up? This is Droopy, and you listening to The Real Spiel Show with my family member, Big Ol' Meezy.
What's happening, y'all? This is E40 Belafonte Bellagiano Bellwether, and you're listening to my partner, Big Ol' Meezy. You understand me? Yeah, man. Yeah, on The Real Spiel Show, man. Yeah, man.
Work it out now. Work it out now.
Baby, be getting it. She got them glutes. Them hitting it. Got the whole bit spinning. They loop. Trick. No rescue.
Ronnie's, no save a boots. And grinding's been game up in the booth. Sun cover rocks, big as your tooth. Course side seats and foreign suits. Trippy, icy, sippy, a la kazoo. While shining bright light, we rub through. Hey, get out the way, she back left to Mustang. She spot a real one, she looking for that pro play. I'm gonna take her back to the telly like I'm Jay Tay. And busted out, dick her out on the balcony. I know she a one time, call her pole. Bust down, she got cake like Shirley. Rock ain't strong, I can tell she can rock that G. She hit a little different like Venus in a ring. Yo,
get it. Get it, get it, get it, get it, get it, get it, work it out now. Work. Get it, get it, get it, get it, get it.
Let me spit my
get
spit.
It.
Let's get at it.
Work it out now.
Get it, get it, get it. Get it, get it, get it. It's the greatest that ever did it and got away with it. I ain't gonna never quit it, I'm too brave with it. I've been winning like I was acquitted for a minute, man. Fuck running for mayor, I need to be running for Senate. I'm a Republican or a Democrat, I'm independent. I be liking to hear myself talk, I'm long-winded. Some mossy wanted me on the slap, they left send it. I was an underprivileged ghetto child with worry on my face. Very rarely I was smiling, I put you in your place. I never been a pee, I never been a poop, but I've been twisted all morning and I'm on my 10th cup. The ladies, they dig me, they know I'm rich. They can tell by my buffs and my fits. When I get on the dice, all I roll is seven. And I'm down with the mossy, Delon, and Kevin.
My brethren. Yo, get it. Get it, get it, get it, get it, get it, get it, work it out now.
Work.
Get it, 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 work it out now.
Cavi is on my nizzle, you know the dizzle. I'm pulling up knocking two or three bad frizzles. Come from the drizzle, so Rizzle is on sizzle. Your boy game tight, be all up in they mental. Hey, 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 little mama, come jump off up in this rental. Pay me what you owe me and later might hit the dental. You see us players, we break them for incidentals. Bitch, you hear this game, don't act like I'm instrumental. Whoa. Real blessed up in the village. Selling through the lobby, Mugabe, we got Wasabi. Yo. She here for the after party. Let it through the lobby with her and her little party. Yo,
yo,
you ain't dealing with no dummies. Got dummies with dummies on dummies that go dummy. Yo,
yo,
yeah, player, your nose running. But pull up with your money and leave with your nose nummy.
Yo, get it, 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 work it out now.
Brand new Mossy, that was Get It right there, produced by the homeboy Decade, E-Feasible Belafonte on that thing, Problem 24-7, that was before that, you know what I'm talking about, the homie Muggsy is out there working, man, he got that bug. How did that feel being out on stage and rocking that tune right there?
Hey, man, rocking that cream of the beat, man, it was so lovely, man, just to be out there, the crowd really entertained with that Get It, man. They started doing the Get It gig. It was like, wow, they ain't heard it like that, but they was into it, you know what I mean? So it felt really good, man. It felt really refreshing.
So you say you got y'all got the new Mossy album coming out. I know the homie Birdo was saying he said Tap gonna be on there?
I mean, right now, you know, me and Cavi just moving our way. You know what I mean? People got, if people ask about Tap, they got to ask Tap. They got to hit Tap up and say, what happened, Tap? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as everybody grow, people go in their own direction or, you know, people just live a different lifestyle. But I say ask Tap.
Okay. Well, there you go. There you go. Hey, hold on. There you go. There you go, Birdo. Was that the question you had? So you got another one.
In a sense, Muggsy Mugzilla, man. Appreciate you being on here with us in the Real Spill Show, man. Shout out to Manny, because that's how I met y'all back in the day at Mike Denton's studio. picking up Caviar from the apartment right across from what was in Marine World in the Capri Classic.
You right, Berto. What's up, my guy? I appreciate you, man. Yes, sir.
Man, I appreciate you. Shout out 3030 Records also, along with Sick Ridded Records, man. And, you know, just being a Sacktown guy and on that tab was from out here, I was like, hey, Omizi, I don't want to ruffle any feathers, right? But is it okay to inquire about Tap? You know, I would ask Tap, but I don't know if Tap's on the map per se, right? So,
right. Nah, you ain't ruffling no feathers or nothing like that. Nobody had no fallouts or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I just say you got to ask. You know what I mean? When the question's pertaining to somebody, I can't speak for the next person. You know what I mean? So no disrespect or anything. You just got to ask that man. You see?
Absolutely, but
I told him, Buzzy gonna be like, oh, who was that dude, Birdo? He was being messy. Oh,
nah.
I said, I'm gonna get here.
he even did the Muggsy voice though. He didn't tell you that part,
right?
So
right.
The thing is knowing that.
Right. I'll see you in person, though, Berto.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll run into each other real soon once again. You know, absolutely. Yeah. But in regards to being born and raised in Vallejo and on Magazine, right, you were pretty much born and raised with three other Vallejo legends and Sugar T, D-Shot, and, of course, last but not least, 40 Water. How did that motivate your grind? How did that set the tone for you?
Well, being the youngest brother, of course, you know, you're always looking up to your older siblings and whatnot. But we had a strong mom, and a strong mom that kept us together and always, you know, pushed every last one of us to make sure we look out for each other and to push each other to be the best we can be. And growing up under my family, E40, D-Shot, and Sugar T, you know, it was just a freaking, you know, it was just amazing to be around so much talent, and then be so many solid people that can say, hey, little bruh, you know, follow our footsteps, or don't do this and don't do that. So my life was really grande, you know, living, growing up with them. They taught me how to be a beast. You know, the youngest always get handed down if they listen. The youngest always get handed down that good, all the good things, and get turned out to be something really, you know, strong, whether it's in the streets, you know, or in the books or whatsoever. The youngest is getting all of it. You feel me?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, going back to the studio, Mike Denton, Lavitty, you know, people don't realize Lavitty was the hook guy, natural voice and everything. Bosco was there with that voice box back then. Bela, you know, San Quinn, et cetera. I even remember going back to the filming of Obstacles. You know, being out there
wow.
with you guys to me was life-teaching moments, right? And just trying to soak up all the game. And Omizi and I have these conversations, and he's like, oh, you remember that? I was like, you guys don't realize it, bro. I was up there like a sponge just trying to learn what I could from you guys. And, you know, having that exposure was a blessing. And now, you know, you have 3030 Records, you have the gym, and you're having these huge recognitions. Man, you know, I just want the best for you guys, the family, and I could hope God continues to just bless you guys.
Appreciate it, man. I think the blessings come from, you know, our grandparents, they were, you know, reverend. My grandfather was a reverend, you know what I mean? And growing up in church and whatnot, the blessings come from there. But other blessings come from us being good people. We always treated people good, no matter who we was around or whatsoever, unless you stepped on our toes. And that, I'm just talking about our whole family. As you can hear that last interview, how, you know, they were still talking about how Omizi treated him good after he picked him up in a bucket and it was hot as hell. Omizi still treated him good. You feel me? And that's just the way of our nature. We're going to treat you good.
That's the way
we
was raised.
Step on us.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah, that's the way we was raised. We was raised like that, straight up.
Real talk.
We're done with your thought. we used to see 40 sign like 700 autographs and shit, 800 autographs, and sit there and be like, damn, how can a motherfucker really just sit there and just shake and talk to all these people and still go perform and do all that. But you see, when you hope, so when you have an example and somebody you can look at and figure out how to do it, man, it's not that, it's not really that hard. I mean, of course, some people, they decide to do their own thing. Like say Tef, you know, that's our loved one. And we still got, you know, niggas done played multiple hella games of Madden and shit all across the world and dominoes and shit. So it's always family. But when it comes to this entertainment business, you got to really want to do it. You ain't going to just play with it. You got to really want to be about it and go do it. You know, that's all that is.
Right, right. And as people get older, you know, people go in their own directions. You know, sometimes the music industry can be different to a different outlook to others and whatnot. You know what I mean? And with us, man, we traveled the world, man. We was hitting 30-day tours and things like that, you know, and to watch, you know, 40 after we rocked a show at 1 a.m., and then next, you know, get up at 5 a.m. and hit the radio station for the early morning show. You know what I mean? And knock that out, and then we go to some meet and greets after that, and then we go to another situation. I mean, it's all in the blood. We cannot stop, you know. And when 40 got on this Get It record, because it was just me and Cabby first, and when 40 said, you know what, I want to get on this Get It record, and he grabbed that Get It record, man, I was like, man, I ain't letting this fall. You know, I'm going to push this Get It record to the fullest because the world needs to hear this. The world needs to hear the Mossy. People need to hear the Mossy straight up because we got something to say. There's too many people out there slanging and shooting up the whole world. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, we all grew up in the streets, but we ain't got to shoot up the whole world, right? We can make some things happen in this world till we're bringing each other up and we all get it together. And that's our movement. Get it together. Let's go. Get it together.
Hello. And you know who also be getting down is Big Sis Sugar T. I was out there rocking with her at the Turkey Leg Festival. I think it was the summertime, or it was July or some shit like that. But it was, or August, I don't know. But it was cracking. She was up there, man. She performed like damn near like hour and a half, 2 hours, man. Had her band and shit, and had her tent all set up, man. You know, it's the drive that everybody got that I fuck with. You know what I'm saying? Everybody
right.
Got that right. That test of fortitude that, you know, regardless of whom or what, we're gonna keep pushing. You know what I mean?
She very talented. Big Sis is very talented, very smart, you know what I mean? And you know, that drive once again comes from our parents, you know, and our grandparents and you know, our Uncle St. Charles, you know. And then D Shot, he's another one that got that drive, you know. That boy doing the movies, man, it ain't easy to make no movie, you know what I mean? He's doing the movies, plus he still got his music career, you know what I mean, and got other things jumping off. You know, he's an inventor too, what people don't know. He got some things coming out that I can't speak on, but some things coming out that he invented also, you know. So, you know, D-Shot, he came out with a doll, but people don't know it was called Baby Hip Hop many years ago.
Man, he's
you know
right.
I mean?
I forgot about that.
And it was a rapping baby. It was a rapping doll, rapping the ABCs and everything. He came out with the Baby Hip Hop situation. So I'm saying our family is full of talent, you know, full of go get it. You know, even look at Work Dirty, you know what I'm saying? He got his music, plus he got another business with his car lot on the side, you feel me? So we just push. Look at Omizi, he got multiple businesses and whatnot. Mugzilla got multiple businesses. Sugar T got multiple businesses. Fody got multiple businesses. This is how we do it. We motivate other people to keep rising. And at the same time, I want to talk about this, Omizi. Man, I do motivational speaking too, you know? A couple of my first, my high school teacher brought me out to Denver one time to go talk to her class because I was kind of hard-headed in her class before. And then she put me in check and just gave me major love and made me realize how much of a leader I was. So I went out to her 12th grade class, to make a long story short, brought my boy JT from In Too Deep out there, and we talked to their class. I had people DMing me and everything and saying, you changed my life, coach. I'm graduating, blah, 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 blah. Muggsy, I'm graduating, blah, 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 blah. Then I just went to a continuation school for Travis. It was Travis Continuation School out here in Fairfield. I want to say it was Travis Education Community. Travis Education. Anyway, make a long story short, I just talked to that class, man, and the counselors and the teachers was like, Muggsy, thank you for talking to them. A lot of these kids don't even listen to anybody coming to talk. They sat there and listened to you the whole hour, and they came and took pictures with you and everything. That means they have respect for you. They love everything you was talking to them about, and that's what we do. We give them a whole different app, a whole different thing to the world, man, and people need to recognize that and know that.
Hell yeah, that's what's up, man. Well, I'm glad you not that you was retired, but I'm glad y'all all decided to get it back going, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, the whole crew is stronger together. You know what I'm saying? That's why me and work was, you know, when we were trying to get on the line, everybody trying to get everybody online, it's because, you know, us as a unit, man, we always been like that. We always stronger together. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like we all gonna keep going till the wheels fall off regardless. You feel me?
Right, and we go get it together. That's why we got this get it movement. We go get it together. And when y'all got on the line with Zilla, you know I'm an Aries, so Aries connections go connect.
Hello.
So I'm already on the other lines. Like, hey, we trying to do this, we trying to do that. You know what I'm saying? On that background end, you know. And so, you know, just coming out again, bringing the Mossy out and whatnot, me, Caviar and I, you know what I mean, is really special because we were on Billboard magazine, you know what I mean? We were top number 35 on Billboard Top Heat Seekers, number 62, like on Billboard Top R&B Hip Hop Albums. We came out with three albums, Have Heart, Have Money, 1997. We had Point Scene Money Gone, 2001. Soil Savvy, 2006. You can look that up on Spotify, and all them albums is blapping. You know, I came out with a solo compilation called Lifestyles of the Disobeyers, 2005. I came out with a solo song, Boo Thang, in 2012. You know, I got people don't know I got a couple of songs out there under an alias named Zil, called Island Girl. It's just some little smooth stuff. It's called Island Girl. Then I got Baby Yomi, and then a real one under Zil. So we keep it active, man. You know what I'm saying? We keeping it active, and you're right. We stronger together. You know what I mean? We built that muscle, you know, and stack on that muscle, and we go, you know, make muscle happen. You know, push the limit.
Straight up. What you got next? Tell everybody your social media and how they can get in contact with you.
What I got next, we got the Mossy. We're working on a song called Where We Go, working on our new video to Get It with 40 on there. We have the video to Get It out there right now on YouTube. Okay, then we got a song called Ghetto we're about to release. We're about to put some more things on the next Secret compilation, just like you is on Meezy. And my social media is at Muggzilla, okay, Muggzilla. And then the Mossy Official, you know. And then we got 3030 Records. That's all on Instagram right there. We got the Facebooks and all that too, but you can find the links up in the bio. Yay!
I appreciate you coming on the show, man. We got the homie Cubone coming up next, you feel me? And we're gonna make sure we stay online with the Mossy and make sure, you know what I'm saying, we stay playing all the shit that y'all got going on, and just keep us abreast of the next show, man. And me personally, I wanna pull up to the next show. So I would have loved to have been at the one y'all just did, but you know what I'm saying, you know, on the next one, keep me abreast, man. I'll pull up.
Hey, got you, man. That was last minute on call, right on the spot. So at the same time, I will keep you in touch and let you know, man. The Mossy, we are starting to move. We're getting calls for shows and everything else. And Omizi, I appreciate you for having me on this platform. Both you guys for having me on this platform, because the simple fact, even though we family, you know, everything don't have to be. If it ain't good, why should we put? You know, if it ain't some real, you know, moving. I can't, for me, I'm not going to, let me just put it in perspective. I'm not going to go ahead and promote something that's not knocking to me or that's not moving to me. And you guys, I expect the same out of, right? And just because we found
you,
you didn't have to have me on here, but you had us on here and had me on here, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, loved one. You already know this is what we do. This is why I even do this shit. That's why I have this platform, is what's the purpose of me having my own platform if I can't put my, you know what I'm saying, have my own folks come on here and, you know what I'm saying, and do their due diligence and promote their brands too, man. You know what I'm saying? It just don't make no sense, man. So I appreciate you, big bro.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, man. Yeah. One love to everyone out there. You know, let's get it. Let's get that get it, you know, and get it movement going on. Let's get it together, yay area. Let's get it together, Sacramento. Let's get it together, world. Straight up. Yay.
Hell yeah. We'll be right back with Q-Bone, man. Chef to the stars, the celebrity chef Q-Bone, man. The activist, man. It's the Real Spill Show.
Check this happening. If y'all know who I am by now, motherfucker, you should. I go by the name of Position. And right now, you about to listen to my new single featuring my bro, Big Ol' Meezy, called The Shit, right here on The Real Spill Show, bitch.
Nigga, this sound crazy. Position. Big on me. Yeah. I think I'm back in this bag, bitch. When it come to this hustling, I'm out here on my Randy Savage. Oh yeah, gotta put some elbow into this shit. Whole lot of leg work when you out here making that grip. I ain't got time to rest for no tools or fuels. I refuse to lose in this bitch. I go hard. Like some 12-inch woofers in your classic car. No gassing niggas up, I'm known to take it far. No rearview mirrors here to practice looking hard. I'm fully charged. Gotta watch all my investment, but at the same time gotta watch them niggas trying to block my blessing. Just watch me press and keep it stepping.
I ain't testing, mama blessing. Smith and Wesson teaching lessons. Lip professing, keep them guessing. Chess and checkers like a reverend.
This the shit, this the shit. This the shit that make you wanna make a green.
Back your paper to the ceiling.
Yeah, it's the shit.
This the shit.
This the shit that make you wanna hit a lead.
Fuck some haters, make a killing.
Oh, all about my paper, ho. Oh. Let me hit my nigga Big Ol' Meezy up in Sacramento. Tap in one time, what's on your mail?
I'm thinking more money, more homer, no more. Banger reload, banger reload. Getting the mo, getting the mo. Total control.
This is dedicated to my hustlers and my goons. Niggas been making moves since they came up out the womb. Fuck the slow lane, nigga, I've been living life on Zoom. Ain't no fucking squares around here, we shaped and grown. Two niggas out the ghetto swerving the city to overseas. Went from triple beams to going places you never seen.
Position them Big Ol' Meezy, we the ones that wanna be. Not that shit that's on TV, real life is just quick to squeeze.
This the shit, this the shit, this the shit that make you wanna make a green.
Back your paper to the ceiling.
Yeah, it's the shit,
this the shit,
this the shit that make you wanna hit a lean.
From the haters, make a killing.
Oh, I'm on my boss, hoes, CEO, pimped out shit. With a pocket full of money and some more we can get.
This the shit,
this the shit,
this the shit that make you wanna make a green.
Back your paper to the ceiling.
Oh. Been knowing this brother for quite some time, man. Always a pleasure when you know what I'm saying, we in the same vicinity. I want y'all to put a warm welcome together for my homeboy, Chef Q-Bone.
Hello. You know we got to do it, man. The only way that's good, though. Hello.
Hey, it ain't Times Square. It ain't Times Square, but hey, man, you know, we here.
Hey, man, listen, man. We ain't got Times Square. Lucky to have us. We was here before Times
What's
Square.
Up?
We made Times Square.
You better
we
know.
Got a lot of time
what's up with my...
Hey, we got a lot of time together. More than Times Square. We got, if they want to put it like that, we got a whole lot of time together, brother.
Man, it's really been a whole lot of years. Everybody I've been on the phone with today, we got at least 10, 15, 20 calendars, you know what I'm saying, together mm-hmm. as far as you know what I'm saying, as far as real homeboys, real folks, you know what I'm saying? So, I always wanted to make sure that I got you on the show, and we've talked about it for a hell of time. So it just made sense for you to come on today. You just got back from Seattle. You said you was working on a TV show. Tell the people a little before we get into that. Tell a little the people about yourself.
But man, first of all, man, I'm a native out of South Central Los Angeles on the east side, man. You know, by the Low Bottoms, man. I was born and raised there. My whole family for generations, from my great grandmother to my grandfather, my father, my mother, my cousins, everybody. From generations to the day, my nieces, nephews, my grandkids. You know, I'm born and raised in South Central Los Angeles, man. I decided, you know, throughout my life, man, I decided to join the gang life, you know, hustle life, favorite sports life, and a little part of growing up and stuff, man. Church raised, you know. I'm a people's person, life of the party. You know, in 92, I took a change for my life for the better, man, you know, but we'll get to that a little later. But, yeah, me growing up in South Central Los Angeles, man, I'm just a grown man, a young native, black man.
So in 92, you was involved in the peace treaty between the Crips and the Bloods. What part did you play in that truce?
I was very instrumental. I think I played probably one of the most significant roles. It could be as a peacemaker and a gatekeeper, an OG. Someone that was really just living that life, though, you know, real gang banging and stuff. And I played the part of really, like, turning my life around and turning lives around. A lot of brothers that really followed my lead as well, you know, that I didn't know of until we made peace, you know, and they really looked up to me and really pushed me to push forward this peace movement, you know, to further it. You know, because one thing to make peace, and then it all decided, well, how are we going to keep it, though? You know, we can all make it all together, but how are we going to keep this peace for the days ahead, you know? And that's my part. So I'm very instrumental in founding the peace treaty as well as the programs after that and keeping the peace.
You feel like there's that a lot of lives were saved because of that, or do you think it was like something that was super like temporary?
Now, you have the I look at it, you know, a lot of lives have been changed and saved. You know, you gotta look at it, one thing about doing that riot, the peace treaty, we came off of the civil unrest, you know. And one thing about the civil unrest, you know, we came off of that. We did not plan that. We didn't plan doing, you know, a lot of the things that we're doing now. All that stuff was given to us by God, man. You know, the riots wasn't planned. You know, the civil unrest wasn't planned. The peace treaty wasn't planned, you know. So when it did happen, you know, after the riots and civil unrest, man, yeah, I believe a lot of lives have changed, say, the mine included, because, you know, each and every one of us that came into them projects, them days that formulated that peace treaty, man, I'm talking about every person in L.A. that was a part of a gang that was out in the streets, that was out there, you know what I mean? Let's say 90% of the people came to that project. So, you know, and lives changed at that instant, man, because to see all the thousands of brothers together, voluntarily, wholeheartedly, come on now, you know, I mean, you know, just day before, hours before, moments before, we were shooting at each other, killing at each other, we had warrants out for each other in life, you know what I mean, come on now, you know, for us to do that, yeah, lives have changed that day. Now, whether a lot accepted it, yeah, went on, yeah, that's on them.
It was a super moment. And even being, you know, I graduated in 92, so I had to watch it from where I was at. I was in Utah at the time, so, but it still was big because it was that's when Banging on Wax that came out, you know what I'm saying? And it was like we was listening to that, and it was like, you know, we're trying to get people to tell the story. So when you from the outside looking in, you just like, yo, it's like you had the riot, the Rodney King riots, and then you had the truce, and it was like so many different things that was going on at that time. It was just like L.A. was on fire.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, it was, man, because, you know, a lot of things people don't know. It wasn't just the Rodney King situation, man. It was a built-up from Natasha Harlins, a built-up from the years of all of us going to get into it and hearing the history of the Watch Riots with my parents and, you know, all those people that suffered through that part of my communities and stuff. So, you know, it was a build-up of frustration, man, just having to pull out into the streets how I did, you know what I mean? But at the same time, everybody wasn't even like that. So when those that did part there with us, shoot, we had to turn back, go back and face home and get them back home. And getting them back home, you see a reality, man. Basically, when I said getting them back home, you know, the mothers, the older folks that was out in the streets, the kids that been out in the streets, you know, like we was once was. You know, and getting everybody back home safe like that. So that's what brought us peace, I believe. You know what I mean? That blame game. But all the gang members started to rise. All the gang members did this, but in reality, we didn't start that. You know what I mean? We was outside, but we didn't start that. You know, you can't blame us.
And everybody was out there with them TVs and couches and shit doing this.
Man, come on now. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about.
What they know.
How you going to get pissed up out of all those people out there, right there, running around this street? You know what I mean? Come on now. You know that. You know what I mean? So, yeah. that's how I felt that.
Now paint the picture. How does one go from that to becoming a celebrity chef?
So what happened was, up jumped throughout the years, you know, basically when I had moved to the Bay Area, man, back in like, I think like 2012, 13, or something like that, you know, my life had changed drastically, like far as like how I presented myself out in the streets and stuff. So I was at home, turned to homebody. So I'd be at the house cooking and stuff every day, just passing time and stuff, you know, but I like cooking, you know, fun. Never sold a plate or nothing at the time, you know. So at the time, man, you know, cooking and stuff and then, you know, and everything and just trying to figure out what my next move in life going to be, you know, outside the road and tour and all that little stuff like that. I decided, man, I'm just going to just cooking, just having fun. And then Snoop came on the live, my Facebook Live one day and said, "Bone, man, I need you to be my personal chef." And from that day forward, you know, I became a chef and then a celebrity chef at that. So, you know, and that was the first time I ever did a cooking job outside cooking for the homies or the family, my friends or something. You know what I mean? I didn't have no cooking name for the chef and the business selling plates or thinking about opening up a restaurant or doing this and doing that. You know, I didn't think about that at that time. So when celebrities came in, shoot, man, you know, I took advantage of on that tour. Because I always been on the road manager tour with Mystical, P.D. Pablo, and then helping artists, Akon on the radio run that he first did back then and stuff. You know, I was just getting there where I fit in at, being a big homie, being an unk. But when that food came, oh, now it's a career, now it's a profession. Now I got to see if I'm going to take this in to be own a restaurant or just be a celebrity chef, what I want to do. You know, so now that I'm a celebrity chef, shoot, I decided to step up a notch. Everybody say, "Bone, go get a food truck. Hey, Bone, go get this restaurant. Hey, Bone, go. You need to do this here." Of course, man, I want to do all that. I'm going to do all that in due time, right? And so, shoot, man, you know, bless myself Christmas Eve, you know, I decided from a gift from my family, man, you know, we opened up a company, you know, online company, you know, food delivery company, first company that ever existed. Man, not even one company, but three companies that I'm CEO of, four really. You know, now that's online services, you know, websites, apps, you know, like my first company that came out, you know, is Munchie Menu. You know, that's my first food company, food delivery, online pickup company. Well, you know, I'll be having restaurants and cafes and delis and mom-and-pop stores, food trucks, ghost kitchen, professional chefs, home chef, big old Meezy's kitchen. You know, you could be cooking at home, Meezy. You know, hello. I mean, you got your plates for sale. You know, hello. You know what I mean? You got your menu up. They ain't got to come to your house and get it. You got your own drivers. They're designated at the Munchie Menu, just like Uber Eats and anything else. They driving for you. They're going to deliver the food for you. That's creating jobs for some youngsters or somebody in the family or somebody that you know. You know what I mean? And as well as bettering the companies that need some help out here. Man, we got to start looking out for each other's business. You know, the big companies, you know, they pay their mood. They get their money. They corporate and everything. They do what they do. You know what I'm saying? But now it's time for us as individuals to patronize each other in a small business sector. And that's why I created Munchie Menu is for it. You know what I mean? And then I got Vibe and Live. Amazing, you know, that's them apps are just like Facebook and Instagram and all them, but we own that. I'm CEO. We own that whole propaganda right there. You know, that whole platform is ours to work our level of life, man, to build our integrity up, our morale. Because, you know, Instagram and all these companies, man, they be deleting us, man, deactivating our pages after so long over petty things, man. You know, they deactivated my page.
Yeah, they just did that to you. Yeah, they just did that to you, right?
Yeah, man, 2 weeks ago, they did my boy the other day, man, doing it every day to people, man, after all that, over nothing. Over, so what, a peace treaty post? That's peace. You could something posted every day all type of stuff. They don't knock that down. You know what I mean? But that's just because of some animated system that they got doing that. And they don't go back and appeal it for you. They don't go back and look at it. They don't care about going to look at it unless it's you, somebody that they care about. Dude, you ain't spending no money on the advertisers, and they spend no money on their system. So they sit there and want to sit there and put that alcohol stuff on you. Now all of a sudden, you got only 2 or 3, 4, 5 posters on your page. So that's why I created Vibe and Live and Four Maisie. With Vibe and Live, the difference is because of Vibe and Live, you can take all your content on there, your music, or maybe anybody independent, and put on there and charge for your stuff. It's like they're doing that. They want to start the subscriptions on Instagram, then we have our own subscription. And we pay our own sales and we keep our money recycling ourselves because they ain't giving us nothing back. They ain't giving us a hot dog and a nickel. You know?
That's real. What's some of your biggest your best dishes? Some of your best recipes, your best dishes that you like to make?
My best dish, man, real. My best dish is my favorite dish is, you know, it's my spaghetti dish, man. That was created special for someone that's special to me, man. And we created that and that's been my favorite dish, man. That's one of my dishes that I see a lot of people don't make the way I make it. You know what I mean? Because I make my spaghetti black, Cajun barbecue style, you know, soul fishing. Not just the regular spaghetti that we grew up on or the Italian version. I'm getting straight black version with flavor, spice, and a punch.
You said is it baked? You bake like with cheese
yeah.
and all that?
No, I do it. I do it in the skillet. I do it on the side, and I put it in the oven. If I want to, I put it in the oven after I cook. But I also do it over the stove. I do it turkey. I do turkey, beef, or thing. I do three meats, though, instead of one in mine. I do three meats in it. You know what I mean? I put, like, if I'm using turkey, I'm using three meats of turkey. That's ground beef, breakfast sausage, and Genio. You know, all that, the sausage and the smoked sausage to go with the breakfast ground and the turkey ground. If I'm using beef, I'm using the ground beef. I'm using the country gene breakfast sausage, you know what I'm saying? And I'm using the Cajun sauce or different other sausages on that level. Seafood, different berries. It could be seafood, shrimp, lobster, crab, you know. Yeah. You know, I'm making it like that. But it's
what is
that?
What does Snoop like to eat? What does he have you make? What does he have you make him?
He likes a lot of breakfast food. Like breakfast is the main thing. Like, you know, but he likes, you know, he's a regular eater, man. He's not no fancy dancing real easy like that, real fancy stuff. Like for real, believe it or not, like when I was on the road, a lot of his road food was mainly like fish. I mean, like my spaghetti, of course, ribs, chicken. But the main thing, what he really liked was a lot of people would trip off when I tell him that I make for him, and it's on the videos as well, is Hamburger Helper.
Oh, shit, that's hella funny.
With the twist, you know, with the twist on it, though. You know, you got to put the flavor with it. Fresh out of the box, put the hand on it, you know, original. That's an Eggo waffle, not the waffle in the bagel machine, the Eggo waffle out the box. But, you know, you got to put it in the skillet. See, we didn't grow up putting waffles in the toaster. We grew up putting waffles in the skillet with butter, making it crispy. That's how you made it crispy, you know, and with the butter on it. You can't put the butter on it inside the toaster, and the toaster only make it so hot, right? You know what I mean? So, you know, like a waffle maker, it gets hot. So the Eggo in the skillet, it makes the waffle like wood in the waffle maker. It's hot. It's like cooked pancakes in the skillet, right? You know what I'm saying? So,
wow.
Yeah. So that's how he liked it like that. You have to cook it like that. But, you know, he like fried chicken, fish, you know, catfish fried, you know what I'm saying? He like that. Pork chops then, you know. Right now, you know, people eat healthier, different things they don't back up off of, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, that was his favorite, though, you know, stuff like that. You know, basic eating stuff, man, you know. They get it in, you know.
We talked. We talked earlier about a TV show that you had going on.
Yeah, about the Cooking with Q-Bone. So when I went to Seattle, you know, I started off my show Cooking with Q-Bone in Times Square. You know, that was the episodes of Wonder Woman TV. I did like five episodes, and my first episode was Bernice King, the daughter of Martin Luther King Jr., like my little sister. My what thing like is my little sister, you know. So I did my first episode with her, and then five episodes of Wonder Woman Network. That's still ongoing. So now I decided to do myself Cooking with Q-Bone on the road, where I would go into a lot of these different restaurants, cafes, like say all the people that I'm striving to put on my monthly menu company, to go into their places of venues and, you know, talk about their history, talk about what they got going on, to market them and taste their food and get at, you know, give them some insights and stuff, let the world see who's really out there, you know, slow show marketing. You know, just like Diners and Dives or all the rest of these talk shows with TV food shows. But mine's going to be different because it's me, not them.
That's hard. And it's real tough.
I'm hit every city. I'm hit every city like that, you know. Sacramento, the Bay Area, L.A., you know what I'm saying? I'm going to Vegas, Arizona. You know what I mean? Then I'm head on back east to New York, Midwest, down south. You know, I plan on going on the other side of the world to do this, man. This is my journey right now. This is my road journey, my road tour. So the tours come up. I'm going to jump on these tours with my food truck. I ain't got to pay me for the tour. The tour going to pay for itself for me. Because I'm going to sell a hamburger for the spaghetti. What? You already know.
Shit. So tell everybody how to get in contact with you as far as, are you going to be doing like catering, or is just are you just going to keep it to the TV show and to working with Snoop?
No, I'm gonna do it all. I ain't gonna lie, I'm gonna do it all, bro. I'm gonna do it all. You know, they can reach me at you know my new page up at Big Cubone 52. You know, they can reach me at MunchyMenu, you know, .co on Instagram, on Vibin' Live on Instagram, Bo Maze on Instagram, or you can go to Easy Tree link, just like Link Tree got their Link Tree. We got a black company called Easy Tree. They can sign up on Easy Tree. For me and find my links there, you know, or just Google me. Hey, all matter of fact, call you.
Yeah, you better know it. Shit. Make sure y'all.
Find us in the streets. Find us in the streets. We know we outside. We outside.
Real easy. Real easy. Yeah, real easy.
You know, yeah, but they can find really about that, man. I have a management company at Banks Management, you know, based out of Seattle. You know what I'm saying? They can call me up there. Maybe, you know, we do the podcast up there on the spot, at the spot. You know what I'm saying? That's based out of Seattle. So that's why I'm up in Seattle a lot, man. And, you know, I really like Seattle up here, man. So I really, you know, that's like my second home up here right there now, man. I like that rainy weather, you know. Got to give shots out to them brothers in Seattle.
Hell no. Nah. We done with this rain. Super done. This shit's for the birds.
Oh, yeah, this is springtime now. We're going to be all sunshine. Sunshine and lights. I get the bank, you know. Yes, it's all in North Carolina. But, yeah, man, you know, I just want to just keep the brothers.
Nah, no question. Nah, we all going to stay on the one. We all we got, like I was telling Muggsy earlier, we all we got, man. So, like I said, any way we can help each other, we all got to make sure that we help. Stay online with each other. You know what I'm saying? We've been doing it all these years. Ain't no sense of switching up now. You feel me?
No, man. See, and to all you youngsters out there, man, these young brothers want to enter the industry of music and want to rip and run these streets, man, stop that violence, man. Stop this killing, man. First of all, man, stop this mental health situation that's coming in y'all right now, because you got to back up off these drugs, man. These drugs that y'all taking, these pills y'all taking, man, them ain't what y'all think it is. Take it from an OG, triple OG myself, man, that's still out in the field to know what's really going on. Stop it, man. Because you're destroying yourself, man. You're killing yourself every day, man. These youngsters out here especially, man, y'all bodies can't take what y'all entering in, man. I'm telling you that right now, man. And you're dying early. You're expiring early, man. The system ain't getting you, man. This life is getting took from you, man. You're going to go see the maker, man. So if you're any piece of God, patch it up, man. And believe in yourself, man. There's some positive brothers like myself, Big Old Measy, that you can follow behind, brother. That's going to lead y'all the right way. Because we ain't going to lead you to destruction. I ain't got no war stories to tell you. I ain't going to tell you to go do nothing wrong that you shouldn't be doing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that you know, a nigga slap you, don't slap him back. Disrespect. But respect your mother, man. Remember, respect your elders so your days can be longer, man. Because if you're not, you're going to get to be 59 like me and look like me. I can tell you that right now. And that's the show, man. That's all I want to tell y'all, man. Get it together, brother and sisters. Let's get it together, man. Let's get it together. We got to. This is 23. If we drop the ball now, it's over. Ain't no, this is a lab. This is the fourth quarter. We're only in the first, but this is the fourth quarter for us. This is it for us. This is the first quarter for many, for a newer beginning and for many that already excel in excellence, but this is the fourth quarter for us, and we still ain't excellent yet. So let's get it together, brother, sister, and love each and every one of y'all. That's all I want to say to y'all. We can do this.
Man, I want to use this. I appreciate you, brother, for being on the show, man, and all the guests that's been on, Young Muggsy, my homie Will. My DJ Mighty White, Mighty Mike did a mix. He did a mix. Birdo, don't be a GB. That shit, everybody's going to have to be mad. It is what it is. But I can at least end the song with the beginning of the mix, and then next show, Mighty Mike, I promise I will start the mix top of the show. But the shit was going so good. We're going to end it like this, though, y'all. It's the Real Spill Show. We're going to ride out with the homie Gat, man. Tree City.
Hello.
From Tree City. Woo. shit. Nigga, I'm first off, RIP Floor and Mall. You would think it was the K-House the way the city ball looks. Good shorty, everybody is a baker. Bout blues, rock gold, Grand Pacer. Hey, it's JJ's for the fish and chicken. Doing 60 up floor with the roof missing. Look, word to my buzzer Nino. If you was round in 9-7, all you heard was SIBO. From the heights to the ridge. Both part of your fun of the town bridge. Broadway for the car shows. Thursday Momos, Friday Momos.
Yeah, HBK, yeah, you know how we play. And I can't quit. I ain't worried about a hater, I ain't worried about shit. Did a sold out show, plus I throw my events. Tap in every city, cause the road be intense. Bada boom, bada bing, gotta swing, hit a fence. I ain't worried about a hater, I ain't worried about shit. I ain't worried about a hater, I ain't worried about shit. Off gram, focused on bands. Never been in competition with the next man. HBK the gang looking like the X-Men. From the nickel dime, so I gotta represent. You want that position, it's gonna take discipline. Hear the criticism, take notes, implement. Only accepting what's meant for me. Life without music feels incomplete. So I'ma be honest, I'm worried about commas, less about comments. Stand true to the game, I promise. Put on my city along with my. Did a sold out show, plus I throw my events. Tap in every city, cause the road be intense. Bada boom, bada bing, gotta swing, gotta bang. I ain't worried about a hater, I ain't worried about shit.
Bro, pop the whole fit for the keys.
I ain't worried about a hater, I ain't worried about shit.
Shawty in the clip, but I won't stop it out there. I pour my feelings in my cup. I got hope, and I don't wanna hit nothing. Ride with that pole, I'm sippin' on that chain. Nigga, I be stepping on. Shawty with that work like, you ain't with the perks like. Shawty make your ass shake, killers in the club. Shout out my little cutty phone, and I keep a bloody phone. You ain't even know what I'm saying, little bitch, I'm good. You ain't even know what I'm saying, but bitch, you good.
Look back, let me tell you about myself. Critically acclaimed to be the best out the west. But I can't hold that title, cause then my friends become my rivals. Maximize my pride, but I can't get my sex up on my mind. Mentally traumatized, all of the shit that I endured in my past life. Jesus Christ, this show me young, cause I ain't living right. Even if the devil come back with a different propaganda, I'm screaming fuck these motherfuckers, I'm a loose cannon. One life to live and I'm gon' live it right. I know some niggas in the pen that just got senses like. I'm a gangster by birth, and I'm bound to die eventually. Let one of these pussy niggas play me, and I'm gon' kill it. See, my life is like the inside of a 12-gauge barrel. Don't fiend with these lyrics. My mic is my stereo. I looked up to some niggas I loved as a kid. I met Wayne, he ain't check my hand. Hey, it is what it is. All these up and coming rappers that ain't fucking with me. Let's fuck you until you die. You ain't good in the whip. Catch nigga like a try luck. And I ride with the pole. Fuck a little like worrying about one of these little broke ass hoes. Made $1 million, I ain't even got a man for a bitch. Raise your hand if you want to, baby. I don't need it. Aye, aye. It's just 30 watt for make you tap that. 30 watt kicking you, touch your back. Don't stop, get low, freak ho. Bro, pop the whole fit for the heat. Watch out, speak, watch, keep going. Tellin' all your bitches if I trip, get on strong. Shawty in the clip, but I won't stop it out there. I pour my feelings in my cup. I got hope, and I don't wanna hit.